You're listening to Archer Radio. This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queercast on the internet. Today is Wednesday, December. January 4th, 2006, and this is show 148. I'm going to start off by saying feel free to call the comment line at 1-206. What the hell is my number? 206-600-4763. That's what it is. And just so you know, I've got Skype and Gizmo on just in case there's someone to chat with. So far, there's nobody online. And as I said, today's Wednesday. I'm recording this on Wednesday, but you're listening to it on Thursday. And I want to start off by saying that I went to bed last night at about 10 o'clock. And at that time, the mining tragedy was still going on. And had they found one person at that point? I'm not sure if they had found one person or not. But I woke up this morning to find out that so much had happened in the 6.5 hours I was sleeping, and that 12 miners had died overnight and only one had survived. That was very discouraging for one and very sad, you know, for another. And just to think about how all those people went through all that terrible ups and downs, first saying that all their family had, you know, the 12 miners had survived, and then 3 hours later saying that no, sorry, it was a miscommunication, that they were dead. It's very sad. Now this evening's news, I did record about 6 minutes of all the information, all the details about the mining tragedy. So I'm going to play this clip because, you know, as I've said in the past, the news always says it so much better than I can. So just bear with me and listen to this, or you can fast forward if you're using an iPod, that you can just fast forward. But I just wanted to have this clip in here because it really explains everything that happened last night. So take a minute and listen to this clip from the news.
Good evening. We begin here in Upshur County, West Virginia, less than a mile from the coal mine where 12 men were killed after being trapped alive on Monday. We are also less than a mile from the small Baptist church where many of their families exploded in anger and in grief after first being told that most of their loved ones were alive and then finding out that all but one of them was dead. The entire country has followed this disaster from the very start, including President Bush. Today he spoke about the loss.
Our nation, we send our prayers and heartfelt condolences to the loved ones whose hearts are broken. We ask that the good Lord comfort them in their time of need.
We're joined now by ABC's David Curley, and you have been on the scene of this disaster since Monday.
3 days, and it's been a devastating ride for this community, especially these past 18 hours. They've gone from desperation to elation to rock bottom, and tonight, a lot of anger directed at this mine's owner. For so many families, the prayers were not answered.
Everybody feels the same way. It's just been a real tragedy.
This after the stunning, nearly unbelievable emotional night in which families believed for 3 hours that 12 miners were alive.
We are saddened by the fact that the communication problems we experienced last night only added to the terrible tragedy.
Families are furious tonight with mining company officials who ran the gauntlet of reporters trying to explain a miscommunication that left a town heartbroken.
Legitimate complaints we try to respond to.
Less than 24 hours ago, all hope seemed to drain from this coal community when the body of a miner was discovered.
The odds are against us.
The governor said it would take a miracle to find anyone alive. But just before midnight, it sounded as if that had just happened.
At 11:45 p.m., the Mine Rescue Command Center received a report that 12 miners were alive.
That word spread quickly and unofficially straight to the families.
They're all alive, all of them.
But only one ambulance left the scene.
At 12:30, the Mine Command Center was informed that there appeared to be only one survivor and that the other 11 miners showed no vital signs and appeared to be deceased.
With conflicting reports and confusion, it would be 3 a.m. before the mining company said it was a mistake. There was only one survivor.
We knew that people was going to be mad and upset and hurt.
In the process of being cautious, we allowed the jubilation to go on longer than it should have.
Through the night and by mid-morning, all 12 bodies have been recovered from the mine. We learned late today that each man was wearing an air canister. Company officials now believe the explosion Monday morning was at the mouth of a mining section where a lead miner was working alone and may have been killed by the blast or falling debris. The 12 other men apparently survived the explosion and, as trained, fled the smoke and went to the end of the shaft to set up a barricade, basically covering themselves with fabric to keep out of toxic carbon monoxide. Under that fabric, rescuers found Randall McCloy, moaning, the lone survivor.
We've prayed for 13 miracles. Despite our grief and despair at the loss of our 12 co-workers, we want to celebrate the one miracle that was delivered.
Randall McCloy is actually in pretty good condition. He is still on a breathing apparatus, but he is communicative, and doctors say even though he did suffer some carbon monoxide poisoning, pretty good prognosis for him.
And no idea yet how long those other 11 miners were alive?
We have no idea yet. There will be autopsies, and if McCloy can talk later, hopefully he can fill us in a little bit as well.
And about the miscommunication, there apparently the rescue teams themselves were wearing oxygen masks. There is some theory that they were unable to communicate effectively through the masks.
And that the signal came through, even though everybody in the room thought they heard 12 people were alive, and it was several people in the room who were elated. They know, everybody knows everybody here, and calling friends and family, and the word got out before it was supposed to.
The CEO of the mine admitting today that they wanted so badly to deliver good news that might have impacted
it. And he said if he had to do it over again, he would have gone over there earlier and said, conflicting information, wait.
All right, David Curley, thank you so much. The impact of this accident is felt deeply here, where so many people have a connection to the mining community. Upshur County has a population of a little more than 20,000 people, but tonight the suffering is on a personal scale. There is virtually no one in this small mining community who was not reeling from the news. Sheer exuberance for 3 hours. People in the packed Sago Baptist Church sang hymns and praised God for the West Virginia miracle. Lynette Roby lives near the mine. When she heard the good news that the miners were alive, she went to the church to wait for the men the town believed would soon walk out of the mine.
They're all alive.
They're alive?
They're yes.
They're all alive.
And I got my children out of bed and brought them down there to witness this wonderful event.
And then the terrible news.
He said, I am sorry to have to tell you guys this, but we were misinformed that the 11 miners are dead. The only one that was found alive and he is in very critical condition is Randy McCoy.
And at that point, people lost it. They started screaming, liar, you liar, you're a hypocrite. He just screamed, there's 11 dead and only one alive, and gave the name. And at that point, people went nuts.
The SWAT team was called in to control the pandemonium.
And then the cops showed up there. We thought it was our family coming there. And our family ain't there. Our family is dead because they lied to us.
I thought I was going to pass out. I couldn't believe it.
You make them wait two and a half, 3 hours. You need to turn around and come back and say, whoops, sorry, we made a mistake.
These folks here, this mine company, has just downright lied to these people. This is a dirty, rotten shame.
For some, faith is hard to come by.
We're Christian people ourselves. We have got, some of us, is right down to saying that we don't even know if there is a Lord anymore. We had a miracle, and it was taken away from us.
Lynette Roby's children will never forget going to the mine in the middle of the night to welcome 12 men who would never come.
What were you hoping to do when you went to that church last night?
See all the miners come back.
What were you hoping to say to them?
That I'm glad they came back alive.
Yeah, so that was extremely sad and just shocked to hear how bad that went down and everything. That's just very sad. In any case, other things are going on in the world, and you do have to move on, but I do feel sorry for all the families in West Virginia that tragedy had to take place. And I'm sure the coal mine will I hope it's not the coal mine that little Larry that Larry works at, or Big Fatty for that matter. Moving along, I do have other things I want to talk about. Today, well, I should say this show is like the first one that wasn't recorded over the weekend, because you saw the video on Tuesday and you heard the two shows that the boyfriend recorded with me on the weekend. So this is the first show that I've been during the week. And I'll have to tell you that because I went back to work because I was off for like 10 days because of the holidays. Oh my God, it was so rough going back to work. First of all, getting up Tuesday morning at the crack ass of dawn and trying to get my ass moving to get to work. It was just, it was miserable. I couldn't move very much, and I was tired all day because I really only slept like 6 hours. And actually, today was a little bit worse than yesterday because I tried to go to sleep last night and couldn't. I was like tossing and turning for some reason. But I did finally get to sleep, but I only slept like 6 hours, and today I've been dragging all day. But luckily, tomorrow I do have a day off, because you might remember all of my medical issues with my acid reflux and all of that stuff, and chest pains and stuff. You can always go back in the archives and look for those shows. But anyway, tomorrow I have a doctor's appointment. I'm going to the diagnostic radiologist to have an upper GI done to see if I have any erosions or ulcers in my esophagus that's causing all of this acid reflux. And I don't know if there is or not, but since I've been reliably taking the Pepcid, the generic Pepcid, I haven't had nearly as much, the indigestion is pretty much gone. But I still do sometimes have like the dull pain in the same area that I was having before. So I'm sure, I don't know if that's what it's due to, but I'm hoping that they'll be able to tell me. Of course, now tomorrow is just the test, and I'll have to go back to the doctor to find out what the results are. But from what I understand, I know that I have to fast for at least 7 hours, they said, before the test. And then I have to drink some kind of liquid. I don't know if it's barium or what. I'm going to try to take my iRiver with me tomorrow and see if they'll let me record stuff. But even if not, I'll do a podcast for Friday to let you know how the test went and what was involved with it and all. But supposedly I have to drink this this liquid, this, I don't know what it is, but I have to drink something and that will coat my esophagus, and then they'll take some kind of picture. I don't know if it's an x-ray, if it's a MRI, if it's a CT. I have no idea what it is. But of course, as I said, I will let you know and report back to you on Friday with all the with whatever I can find out about it. But so I have the doctor's appointment tomorrow, and I'm going to take advantage of having the day off. However, I don't know how long this doctor's appointment is going to take, but I have a million things. Well, I say a million things, but I have a lot of things that I want to do tomorrow. Because, it's so hard to get things done during the week, because the weekends are, booked with spending time with the boyfriend, and we don't do a lot of running around errand kind of stuff, so I have to do as much as I can during the week. So I'm hoping to get a lot of stuff done. I even created like a little to-do list that I wanted to get done. One thing that I'm definitely going to do is work on my eBay auctions, because, and I know some of you are probably sick of hearing this, but as I said, that's my life, that's what I'm doing. But the four auctions that I currently have running on eBay end today, which is Thursday, I think at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that, on the East Coast. So I've already done the scanning and all the setup to post four more pictures or artwork to sell on eBay. So that's one thing I'm really planning on getting done. Now, you might remember that I talked about taking my old iMac to the eBay auction store. Well, I finally got, and I did that last week, but I finally got notification that my auctions were up for those. So, and they split it up into four different auctions: the iMac, the subwoofer, the iPod Shuffle, and the 15 gig iPod. I really wanted to sell them all together as a bundle, but they were like, no, you could probably get more money. Well, yesterday the 17-inch iMac, the older iMac, the 800 megahertz G4, went on sale about 24 hours ago, right now or so. And, well, because right now it's like 7:30 on Wednesday evening. And I can't believe it, within 24 hours, there's already 7 bids on it, and it's up to like $76. So, and it started at 99 cents. They started the bidding at 99 cents. When I first saw it, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to sell my computer for 99 cents. I can't believe that. But then, you know, as I said, within 24 hours, there's bids up to $76. Of course, by the time you're listening to this, it may be up higher, and I'm really hoping to get a couple hundred dollars out of it. We will just have to see how that goes. So, and then the iPods don't have any bids yet, but the subwoofer has one bid. So, you know, and the thing is, if this works well, I don't know if any of you even do eBay or, you know, check out eBay. I have not been an eBay person ever up until, you know, when my friend Bob started selling my artwork on there. And now I'm kind of, as I told the boyfriend, I'm getting addicted to it, and I have to, you know, keep checking my auctions to see if there's any new bids and stuff. So this might be a bad addiction, possibly. But if the eBay auctions work out and I get a decent amount for this iMac, I actually have 3 other computers I can sell, and they're like collectors' computers. I don't know if anybody as follows or is a Mac or Mac people, but I have an original 1984 128K Mac, and I know it's a collector's item because on the inside case, when you open up the computer, the case has all of the signatures of the people who produced the first Macintosh, like the designers, the engineers, or whatever, and all their names are signed inside, but they're not signed with a pen, they're like etched into the metal, so it's kind of cool. And I don't know what that could sell for, but I'm tempted to put that up for sale. And it works, still works, too. I've got some original discs that work in it, so it's cool. I might have to sell that and make some money off that. So all that eBay stuff is going on. That's a fun thing. You know, did anybody see David Letterman last night? He had Bill O'Reilly, not last night, it would have been Tuesday night. He had Bill O'Reilly from the Fair and Balanced Fox News on there. Well, I didn't see it, but I saw on, I was flipping through CNN this afternoon, and they were showing a clip of it, a clip from the show. And I'm telling you, David Letterman really, you know, let Bill O'Reilly have it. And I'm not a big Letterman fan, but hearing the way he talked to Bill O'Reilly and, you know, pretty much gave him what for, really made me pretty proud of David Letterman. Obviously, he's probably a pretty solid Democrat, or at least liberal, I should say. In any case, excuse me, I did capture some of the little bit that they were playing on CNN, so I'm going to play that for you now. And you listen and hear how David Letterman kind of gave it to Bill O'Reilly, so listen to this.
There were some verbal fireworks on the David Letterman show. Letterman had Fox News commentator Bill O'Reilly as his guest last night, and the comedian greeted O'Reilly by saying, "Happy holidays," on his own show. O'Reilly has lashed out at companies and groups that avoid saying Merry Christmas and choose a more politically correct well wishes. Well, from there, the two men got into a political debate discussing war protester Cindy Sheehan, who lost her son in Iraq.
I'm very concerned about people like yourself who don't have nothing but endless sympathy for a woman like Cindy Sheehan. Honest to Christ.
No, I'm sorry.
Honest to Christ.
No way. No way you're gonna get me. No way that a terrorist who blows up women
you
and
have,
children.
Do you have children?
Yes, I do. I have a son the same age as yours. No way a terrorist who blows up women and children is gonna be called a freedom fighter on my program.
I'm not smart enough to debate you point to point on this, but I have the feeling.
We can about check 60, that with the cat.
I have the feeling about 60% of what you say is crap. But I don't know that for a fact.
Listen, I respect your opinion. You should respect mine.
Well, okay. But I think you're
Our analysis is based on the best evidence we can get.
Yeah, but I think there's something, this fair and balanced, I'm not sure that it's, I don't think that you represent an objective viewpoint.
But you have to give me an example if you're going to make those
statements. Well, I don't watch your show, so that
then
would be impossible.
Well, O'Reilly told Letterman if he watched his show, he'd send him a free hat. Letterman told O'Reilly to send that hat on to Cindy Sheehan.
Wow. Never seen Letterman like that before, huh? Ooh.
Wasn't that cool how David Letterman, you know, really gave it to him? I was very pleased. I wish I had seen the whole show. That would have been cool. I'm sure others out there have heard it or watched it because I can't stay up that late to watch it. I go to bed too early. Now, you know, the other thing I wanted to end the show with listener email and listener comments. I got a really nice email from a new listener. His name is Richard, and he's from Chicago. And he says, just a quick hello to let you know that I stumbled onto your site via Jimbo. Jimbo is a blogger that I've had on the show a couple times. And he says, I really enjoy listening to your podcast. You and the boyfriend have a playful, loose, and spontaneous repartee discussing the various topics of the day and are always entertaining and informative for the listener. It kind of makes me think of some of the great old comedy programs of radio's golden age, a new George Burns, perhaps. Congrats on your one-year anniversary with the boyfriend. You both sound very happy and well paired, and I wish you all the best of luck in 2006. Thank you, Richard, and best of luck to you, too. I think by the time you're listening to this, I already wrote you back an email. And I appreciate the email. That's nice. I really like it when listeners take the time to sit down and write an email. I know that most people listen to their show on the iPod, and they're kind of, well, at least if they're anything like me, they're like walking around doing things, and they're not at their computer. But to listen to the show and then come back to your computer and take the time to write an email is very nice. I really do appreciate it. I know that it takes some time. Now, I do have comments from the listeners on, let's go back to Monday's show, the first show of 2006. And we got a comment from, excuse me, Michael. And he says, hi, Archer and the boyfriend. Great show and happy new year. I listen every single day. Have a great week. Thanks, Michael. I'm glad you're listening. I appreciate the comment, too. And then we got one from Beth. You know, Beth is one of our, is probably our most faithful straight female listener. And she writes, because she's commenting on the first podcast of 2006, she writes, happy new year. Welcome back, Mr. Boyfriend. I am very glad I am not Southern. I hate pork, black-eyed peas, and cabbage. But I do want to live in Georgia, but I will bring my Northern traditions with me. LMAO. I don't know. LAMO? I don't know what that stands for. BF cracks me up. The boyfriend cracks her up. I know. The boyfriend cracks everybody up. And the thing is, he's not even trying to be funny, and he is. So, and then I had four comments about the video. One from Beth, one from Harry, and one from me. And again, from Michael. He was laughing at the joke I made about how many cameras are on the boyfriend. And Harry writes, great video as always, Archer. Love the Nate Berkus napkins. His line rocks. And Beth writes, aw, you two are so cute. Happy New Year. I'm glad you had such a wonderful evening with such yummy wine. I hate to say, I think my evening was a bit less classy. It was classy until I got all excited about the snow I haven't seen in 2.5 years and decided that I needed to go sledding in my New York dress, my New Year's dress. You went sledding in your New Year's dress? You know, Beth, if you are on Skype, you have got to, we've got a plan for you to be on the show because I need to get you on the show. You sound absolutely hilarious. You know, I remember your voicemail messages and stuff, so I need to get you on the show so we can talk. If you're interested in that, Beth, let me know. And then on Wednesday's show, we had two comments, and that was about the Christmas in New Orleans. And Mike Hipp wrote, yes, thank you, Mike Hipp. He's still listening to the show. He's such a good guy. He says, can I just say that I would much, much, much rather go to a nice, quiet, intimate dinner party with three or four people than go to a huge party with DJs and 100 people? I would RSVP ASAP and show up with my Mr. Boyfriend in tow to your parties, Archer and Mr. Boyfriend. Well, thank you, Mike Hipp. You know, if you're ever in the D.C. area and we're having a party, you know you'd be invited. And we would podcast about it, too. And then we got a nice comment from John. And John writes, wow, all I can say is that the boyfriend is much more forgiving and tolerant of these people who don't show up for a dinner party after he has gone to all of this work to make it so special. As a cook myself, I do it because it is my hobby. But I would be pissed as hell if I had invited 12 people and only 5 showed up. I can't imagine such rudeness, even if there was supposedly a better party opportunity that just came up. Anyway, the table setting looked fabulous, and I'm sure the food and wine were as well. Happy New Year to you both. Well, thanks, John. Happy New Year to you, too. And I should say that when the boyfriend says that he invites 12 people, he extends the invitation to them. But only 5 said that they would show up. So he didn't even plan on having all 12 those people show up. So he didn't go too far off the deep end in terms of the party planning and cooking and so forth. So don't get too upset about that. Okay, so that's all the listener comments and voicemail. I do want to say a big thank you to John Ong. I've been talking with him about video because he's gotten really good at making these videos. He has this great intro to his videos. I don't know if you check out his video podcasts or video casts or whatever the term is these days, but he gave me a little advice, and he might be helping me create a new entry to my video cast. So I might in the future, of course, no timeline or anything, because I can't even think of anything right now, because he asked me to give him some ideas, but he might, if he has time, create me a new intro to my video cast. So we'll see. So thank you, John. I got your email, and I'll write you back soon. And probably actually by the time you're listening to this, I've already written you back. In any case, boys and girls, I think I will end the show because this is going a little long. And let's see. Today is Thursday, and I'm going to report tomorrow on what happened at the doctor and maybe weekend plans with the boyfriend. So that's all for now. So thank you all for the comments, for the emails, for the voicemails. And don't forget to call that listener line 1-206-600-4763. So until next time, boys and girls, have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.